Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, the market funeral procession continues. There's nothing going on. Nobody cares. There's no interest. But yet they do continue to climb a little bit higher. But at the end of the day, there's nothing really to do as far as a trading standpoint. And if you're investing, you can invest anytime. But I figured we would continue what we were doing yesterday and kind of get some more education, kind of see how I read the markets coming in. So let's go back to the call. Here we go.
You know, maybe something's going on. No, I was reading this today, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was manipulated a little bit, the VIX. I mean, the markets are manipulated a little bit. I mean, they're spoofed. They're, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on all the time. I don't think that affects the overall footprint of the market, though. I think the footprint still shows no matter what they're doing to it. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, a little funny business going on around there. I mean, look, you've got the biggest Ponzi scheme in history, legal, though, but from the Federal Reserve. So why would I think that a little old index like the VIX could not be manipulated a little bit? I mean, you know, again, I don't think it really affects us, okay? Because I think the one thing that is guaranteed is that the footprint shows up no matter what's going on, all right? So as long as you're playing the footprint and you're checking the market based on that footprint, you shouldn't have a problem. Now, I thought this was really interesting, all right? Now, we continue to hear about everything going on, and you know they want inflation, blah, 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 the whole thing. And, of course, this chart shows, in the blue, is the cost of things that were more expensive based on what you made years ago, TVs, software, cell phones, cars, household clothing. But look at the thing you see. Now, here's where I have a gripe, all right? These are things, you know, how often you buy a new car. You know, if you buy one every year because you can afford it, you weren't worried about the price then. You're not worried about the price now. You know, you buy clothes whenever you buy them. Cell phone, we all have now. I remember my first cell phone was in 1984. All right. And I got a bill one time. I almost had a heart attack. It was over 1,000. All right. Because they trapped me by giving me free service for a month. I never thought about it. But in the meantime, but look at the things that we use every day. Food, beverage, healthcare, childcare, college. So what good is it? What good is this with this? But they don't count this as inflation. So again, it becomes another issue to think about. Okay. Again, just little tidbits of information, but we didn't come here to talk about it. I didn't come here to complain the whole time. I got to look at some stocks. Let's look at the world of investing and see what's going on and see if there's anything we can do. Same cell phone that Gordon got. Go ahead. No, I had one in the car. It was, I mean, my dream was to buy a phone and an Eldorado. That was my first goal. And in 1984, I bought an Eldorado and I put a phone in it. It was, you know, I went from that to the bag phone, but I think it was like $1 a minute maybe back then, or $1.20, you know, whatever it was. It was, you know, not like the radio phones, but it was expensive. I did have a brick phone too, but I had a bag phone, which I like better because it came in and out of my car. They called them mobile phones then. That's true. gold is being held down by either China or Russia or both eventually when they own more of the price. It could be. I think China's been buying the hell out of it anyways in the back door. All right, Apple. Alpha, Alpha, Papa, Lima. Right, and we thought that 155 was a reasonable spot to short. Well, here's 154.90. I stand at 155 now. I think 155 is still a good place to sell it. I think this is starting to show a little bit of weakness. Now, again, it's not that I was running out and massively. Look, I'm not massively shorting anything, all right? There's not enough business to do that. But from a pure technical read, this certainly looks like it wants to start to move its way lower. And again, it would be right now, I'd be 155 to 150. I'd much rather be on the sell side of this, okay? I think that you've seen it, and I think we called it perfectly last week, and I think it continues. You know, we did come down and come a little bit lower, and we're just trending a little bit. But again, I think it popped to 155. Sell and put yourself on a nice position there, because I think you'll be rewarded. Alpha Golf Quebec. Okay. So we thought that 36.50-37 was a sale, and here it is, right? So amazingly, okay, we had the big run up in gold and silver last week, but amazingly, this didn't really go anywhere. Now, if you did not sell it, I would not initiate a new short here. I don't like what it's doing from here, but it did hold in at the upper end. Now, if we have a reversal, you know, in gold or anything overnight, then it might change my call. But based on the information I have now, I don't want to sell into markets that are rallying, because the underlying to this is silver. This is an ETF. This is an ultra ETF of silver. It did try to break out and close flat. So again, I would not want to be short this. If I was, I'd cover. But I would not, I'm not looking to buy it either. I need to see what this action looks like, because I thought that it would go to 37 and fall back a little bit, which it did, but not enough to make a difference. So we're going to call this neutral. You know, for those of you who want to buy, I think 36.50 is okay to step in. But I'm not real comfortable in there, because it is very tenuous at best right here. Wouldn't transports be going up if retail is moving to Amazon or online sales? Transports are no longer, I don't think transports are any longer the great indicator they once were. You know, Amazon does a lot of delivery through things that aren't related to the transport industry. So again, one of the problems with the indexes that we're all used to watching, they're very antiquated into what they carry and what's in those indexes. I mean, the Dow, is there still an industrial company in the Dow? AMBA, Alpha Michael Bravo Alpha. Right, so we thought that 65 could be a short. It does have earnings this week, I believe. Oh, no, next week. Now, the rate in which this is going up is a little bit too sharp. However, if I break it down from here, it's not bad. I think this would be going lower. If the earnings were this week, I would probably be taking a stab from the short side. I'm going to let it run for a little bit longer. Again, we are at the upper end. I'd certainly look to be a seller, but I don't really want to sell it here. I want to let it trade out for a little bit. I'm going to call it neutral. I do have a negative bias here, but we'll call it neutral for now.
And of course, it got clobbered during the week after I said I would be a seller, but it is interesting. But again, I hope you're understanding, you know, when we read these charts and what we're trying to accomplish, because I think that, you know, again, this is more about market footprints and not necessarily an opinion of the overgeneral markets, but the math and the way that the individual charts work. And I think this is important for you to understand as a trader, as an investor, whatever it is you're doing. I think this is are the things that give you the best shot to create success for yourself. And it goes down to the entire model. So anyways, this is, who am I? Oh, I am the Bubba Show. And of course, you know, libertytalk.fm is where you want to download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And of course, you got to get Bubba's Bottom Line. You know, I do a couple of episodes a week, you know, about 8 to 10 minutes, and I think you'll enjoy it. We're going to start. We've got two classes left this year, one hedging and one futures. The future starts on June 6th and the hedging starts on June 14th. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out if you're interested. Again, it'll be the last ones until October. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to stop out here for a break and come back and continue what we're doing here. But let's see what this Thursday, June the 1st, brings us. We'll be right back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on this June 1st, Thursday. Wow, June 1st already. Jeez Louise. Anyways, let's get back and discuss what's going on and kind of read the charts so you guys have an idea of what I'm thinking. Here we go. Back to Thursday, picking up right after AMBA.
Amazon, we stayed neutral last week, and I said it's going to 1,000. And again, I'm not going to sell it. I'm certainly not going to buy it. So we're going to let it trade out. We'll consider it neutral for the moment. And when we get an indication, you know, A, if it's in the middle of the week, I'll send you out an email and say, hey, this is what I want to do here. But if it's on a Monday, then we'll do it then. But again, in the meantime, I'm not getting in front of this. I hate it. And that the company's phenomenal. Okay. The company is absolutely, at least this company, as goofy as it is and as goofy as the relationship is to price to earnings, is a great company. And it only looks to get better. So certainly, I wouldn't have the same attitude here as I have, for example, at a Tesla about how bad it is. But I'm looking to be short this. I don't see this lasting forever. But again, I'm not going to get in front of it because it just doesn't make sense. So we'll be neutral here for now. Apache, we said sell it at 51. All right. So we never really got back, you know, to 51. We got the 50-50, the old soft drink. And here we are right back where we thought we'd go to 48. All right. Now, I'm not really an interested party of being a buyer here. I would look for a rally to sell again. But I would not be surprised to see a rally back to 50, which is where I'd like to be a seller again at 50. Okay. Now again, if it breaks down, we'll evaluate from there. But I do think that, you know, this is an overall still a short, but obviously I'm not going to sell it down here where I consider to be our first target or a support level. If it breaks down from here and then comes back up to it, then I would consider selling it there. But right now, I would never sell it into this. This is going down, and I'm not gonna chase this down. We had it dead right; it just didn't quite peak up far enough for us to get in. Baba, Bravo Alpha, Bravo Alpha. All right, and we said look for 120, and notice we never even got near. We never sniffed 120. 120, I think, was about the low. You know, again, you can look at 122 if you want to be a buyer here. Certainly the right number is 122. Me personally, again, I'm not stepping into this. To me, it's well overdone. Now, again, it doesn't mean that I'm right. I always want to clarify that. It doesn't mean that I'm correct. It's just I'm looking at certain things and I expect certain things to happen. And quite frankly, this has gone way too far, way too fast, but it's going where it's going, and I'm not going to fight it. You know, I'm not going to get in the way of it. I might take a stab at it here and there with a small trade, but I'm not going to be involved, and I'm certainly not going to get run over by this right now. If you're looking to play this, 122 is a buy. There's nothing else to do. Chicago Bridge and Iron. So we were watching it, and again, it's continuing to manifest around this $20 level. You know, if you bought it last week at 20, it's okay. I think it's very important at how it finishes out here. It needs to turn up a little bit from here. It doesn't have to go up a lot. It needs to go flatter or just turn up a tad. And that would indicate to me that is a reasonable spot to buy. Right here, I'm a little edgy where it's at right here. But I'm not concerned. I don't think it's going to fall out of bed. But I do think that I need to go a little bit sideways if I want to be a buyer. I think this would not be my first choice if I were going to play something. Conoco, Charlie Oscar Papa. So we wanted to be a seller at 48, and of course we never got back to 48. And here we are breaking down. Now it looks like we held right around the 45 level. You know, certainly if you're more of an active type of trader, you could take a stab at buying here. I would not. I'm not going to. I'd look at 43 as a potential spot to maybe step in, but this is certainly downtrending and doesn't look very good. I'd rather be a seller at 46 than a buyer at 45. All right. You know, again, I'm big against oil right here. I have a big short position in oil and will continue to maintain that. This chart doesn't look good. There's nothing here that says that I should want to get involved. So I would think you would look at this. Now, again, if you want to buy it, certainly it's not a bad buy for a longer term play. But as a trade, I don't think that I'd want to be a player. I'd rather be a shorter as a trader. As an investor, you could buy a small position at 45 if you felt you wanted to own this and carry it. Facebook. All right, so finally, we kept looking at 150 at 150, and we thought that 150 might be a reasonable spot to give them some. And, of course, it was not. It went up and went back to 152. Now, again, this pattern does not look awesome. It looks kind of weak. I would not – again, I'm not a buyer here. If you'll notice, I'm never a buyer at the top, and I'm never a seller at the bottom. All right? I'm a seller at tops or at resistance or a non-event or a non-player, and I'm a buyer at bottoms or a non-player. I do not try to get involved. I'm not chasing momentum. To me, it's not worth it. I don't think that you can make any money chasing momentum. I think you can only get trapped. So I look at this. This is at a nice couple days up. I'd look for a spot to try to sell it. But again, we're kind of guessing up here. I'd rather say neutral than try to fight this, although my gut tells me that we're probably this lower high here, if this holds, would be a good indication that it's going to go back down to at least 148. But again, with the lack of market business, with the lack of activity, I'm going to be more conservative. You know, if we were very active and there was a lot of volatility, I'd be shorting this, but it's not. So I'm not going to step in. GDX Day, Golf Delta X-Ray Juliet. We were neutral. And interesting enough, as well as gold did, the gold miner did not do very well. However, he said, it did make what I would call a higher low. It is kind of making a rounding bottom. Certainly, you know, one of the problems I have with this is it's not a great option play. And I'd rather play through options, but it seems to be on reasonable support. And I would certainly look to be a buyer. I would almost be willing to buy it right here. Okay. Basically 32, let's say. I certainly think it's a reasonable play. I think it looks like it wants to try to go back higher. So I that's where I would be doing this. Obviously, I'm not a seller here. I think that it also is indicating that a bigger move is coming as it bunches up into an area where we know that from here it's got to make a move up or down. I think the move is up. And that's my call. But again, I'm not like overly enthused here. But that's the side I like.
And, of course, you know, those are calculated risks that we take in markets. It's really about the calculation of what you're seeing and trying to, again, put yourself in the best possible position overall. And I think this is, again, we're playing an overall probability model when we read these charts. And if you go back and look, you can see that we're pretty damn good. All right. And again, there's the short term, the trading environment, and then there's the investing environment, and they don't do the same thing. And you have to make that decision ahead of time, you know, depending on where you want to be, whether it's in trading or investing. So again, keep that in mind, and also keep in mind that we've got our part-time day trading class in futures starting on June 6th. If you're interested, you can go to the website and sign up for it. And then we've got our last hedging course of the summer, or, you know, until October, starting on June the 14th. So those are two things that are available to you. Listen, I highly recommend them. I'm just saying. But in the meantime, that's up to you. Check out BubbaTrading.com as well as Bubba's Bottom Line. And, of course, to get the show every day, it's LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day. All right. And you can also get the Sporting Edge there on the weekends. And of course, they're doing a big monster job, and make sure you check them out and download the show every day, because I need you. I need help. I need you. I'm trying to get to a million downloads a month. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for break, and we'll be back with more of the Bubba Show right after the break. Coming right back to you, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It is the Bubba Show, and Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, we're doing a little education on this Thursday, June the 1st. You know, what does it all mean? Where do we go from here? And of course, tomorrow's jobs number. I don't think it means anything. But let's get back to it. It does mean something, us reading the levels, because I think that's important. I think that helps you. So here we go.
Gilead. So we thought 64 was a buy, and it seems to be okay. But again, this seems to be dead on arrival. This used to be a wonderful trading stock. It used to fly all over the place and move in, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 ranges and go back and forth. It doesn't seem to have any interest anymore. Now, whether it's because their drug is going to fail or whatever, that I don't know. But what I do know is that it keeps going into these patterns of being in a coma, and then it will pop somewhere. And again, likely it pops the upside from here. Now, whether or not it can follow through, I mean, certainly it could go to 67 and still not be in great shape. So I would never be a seller here. I'm only a buyer. And again, I'd be a buyer at about that 64 level. Gold, Gulf Lima Delta. So we thought 120 was a reasonable sale. Now, again, if you made the trade, it's all right. I mean, you'll probably get an opportunity, but now I'm not as happy with that trade as I was before. It looks like gold wants to break to the upside. So again, I would watch it. If I was short, I wouldn't just close it. I would look at it and try to trade it and make sure that we're right. I mean, again, I don't have to be right. I mean, that gap up could create something, you know, so. But at the end of the day, I'd be more likely to want to be a buyer back at 120 now than a seller here. You know, we thought that it was tenuous at best, but in the meantime, it did pop on Friday. So we'll see what happens. Google, Golf Oscar Golf Lima. And this continues to be an animal. And again, same as Amazon. We're not getting in the way. Now, this happens to be a phenomenal company. I mean, they're not even basically overpriced. All right. I mean, they're just a great company. So, again, are we going to try to say that this is the end? No, I don't think so. I think you wait. I think you wait for there's going to be plenty of opportunities. Again, this is always the challenging part when a market is getting what I think or what we think is near a top. Okay. You have to be patient enough to let the proper trades, the proper action trade out here, which means a sell-off followed by a rally that fails. That's what you're really looking for. In any market that you want to short now that is like this, you want a sell-off followed by a rally, and the rally will fail to take out the original high that the sell-off came from. That would indicate the top is in. Now, the action, the trading action is toppy action. But again, it doesn't mean that the top is in yet. That's one thing you have to keep remembering. Gild problem is a drug works, cures hep C. Bigger oxygen, you make money treating, not curing disease. Gotcha. I knew you knew that. I knew you were here. India Whiskey Michael. So last week we said sell it at 138. There it is. And here's the sale. You can sell it again at 130. You can sell it right here as far as I'm concerned. All right. This is exactly the action we're looking down from the breakdown to the failed rally. You can sell it. And I wouldn't even think of being a buyer here until 135. Of course, I wouldn't think of being a buyer at all, but if I were going to think about it, 135 would be the level. Las Vegas Sands, Lima, Victor, Sierra. Okay, so we thought 55, 60. Look what's happening here again. It's tightening up into a range that it wants to pop. It's dead in the middle of the entire range. Now, what am I going to call? Again, I'm 55, 60. There's nothing has changed here. It looks like it wants to try to go higher, but it's dead in the middle. Netflix broke out. Okay, we were neutral. We now broke out. Now, for you Netflix fans, I'm a big fan of the T. I'm a big fan. Tomorrow starts House of Cards again. I'm so excited. But in the meantime, I'm a big fan of the technology. I'm a big fan of the service, but I hate the stock. But I do believe it's in play. Again, that's one of my, I was always been my concern for the last few months. I mean, if you want to play, I think you can buy, 162, 160, if you're a player. I mean, I'm not going to buy it there. But I think that that's probably reasonable to look. You can't really sell it here unless you want to guess and gamble. I don't see the point. So I think you look at, if you want it, you look at 160, 162, and you can step in and buy. But I think there's better out there. I would tend to stay away from this. Google is nothing. It's going to 1,000. There's nothing. There's no call. Neutral. Wow. Now, all right. So I'm short this, as you may or may not know, but of course it's up 40% in 2 weeks. I mean, obviously, if I was on my own and I wasn't telling anybody, I would take a huge short position here, but I can't do that in front of everybody. And of course it continues to pop higher. I mean, there was a rumor on, not a rumor, but there was a news report on Friday, and of course it popped immediately. This whole 141 to 145 took less than 2 minutes. All right. In the meantime, we'll see. We're going to call this neutral. Again, I'm certainly not going to be a buyer. I'm not even going to give a level to be a buyer because I don't see it. I don't know what propelled this up. I think they trapped a lot of people short, but we'll see. We'll call it neutral for now, and we'll reevaluate. Okay. This, we've been on fire and been right on it. Interesting that we're now at earnings, and earnings are when? Tomorrow, is that tomorrow? No, Wednesday. We're right at the top. Now, this is too big of a stop to think like this or take that kind of play, but I would more likely want to take a spot to the short side for the earnings. They've rallied now 6%, so I would think that the stock may sell off here. We're not going to do anything. I'm going to call it neutral. But I'd be leaning more to the downside. I wish that it would be down around the 110 level, because I'd much rather take a shot to the upside, because I think it could fill that gap up at 150. But in the meantime, where it's sitting right now and where it's sat, I think it probably favors a move to the downside. Now, certainly, if we do get a sell-off and it gets down to 110, I'd probably look to be a buyer. The Qs, Quebec, Quebec, Quebec. Well, I think this is the 72nd week. No, I don't know. It's a long time. Neutral. There's nothing to look at. It goes up every day. Where am I going? Okay. I took this one off. Snapper. Eric, no. Last week, I said you can buy Snap down here. I said I was concerned about the pattern it was making. I said, if you really want to get in, so you got a gain if you bought it. And I'm not saying that you should have bought it. It was just basically playing the pattern. And if we go back and just go to chart reading 101, what are we seeing here? We're seeing a stock that, with the exception of 5 days in its history, it's been in a range between 20 and 24. So why would I expect today to be any different? I would expect it to be 20 to 24. So when it gets down to 20, I'd like to be a buyer. If it gets up to 24, I'm going to look to be a seller. Nothing changes here. And again, I didn't like the way it looked, and I certainly wouldn't have jumped in, but the numbers were correct. And of course, you got a nice little bit of a rally if you got in. And I'm not saying that you should have, but it's just something that you look at. It's just pure pattern. Doesn't matter what it is. Levels stay the same, 2024. The spiders. So here, I'm taking a short position in here, okay, through options. Because again, I don't believe this pattern can sustain, and I'm putting out a trade in such a way that I think that at worst, even if it goes higher, I think this week it may try to go sideways because I think it has to resolve out. So even if it doesn't break, if it goes sideways, the first part of my trade is going to be selling call spreads. Now, I think as a general population, we probably want to be neutral here. But as you know, if you understand, you know, options, you might want to sell a call spread. I mean, I actually sold the call spread for Wednesday. Okay. Or I'm going to sell a call spread for Wednesday. All right. And then I'm going to try to sell another one for Friday if I can cash the Wednesday one. But in the meantime, you know, again, this is more of a play on the pattern that we should go sideways at worst, if not come down. So, and then of course my short is out 2 weeks from now. So, I think that's what the way I wanted to play it and the way it looked going forward. And it's a relatively small play in general. So I think that's the way that it looks. But overall, from an overall chart standpoint, if you were going to buy the stock, I would call it neutral. If you're going to try to sell some premium, I have no problem trying to sell some premium in this. And certainly the call side has decided to want to sell right now.
And of course, that's pretty much the Monday call. But I think we assigned a lot of good levels. And I think if you look back, you'll see a lot of good trades, a lot of good read of the overall footprint of the market. I think that, again, this is, you know, important. It's important for you, but it's more important for me to make sure that you understand it because I love teaching it. And I want to make sure that you have the best chance to be successful with your investing so you don't have to worry about panicking or puking out again. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day. Excuse me. Ooh. And, of course, elsewise, get the Sporting Edge as well. You got to help my kid out, right? Make your show big. Actually, they're doing great. The Sporting Edge, you can download that for the weekends. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrading.com. We're going to step out here for break. We will be right back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're going to go to Marlin Bowling at Rural Rally Radio right now and see what I had to tell the old farming network right here now. Let's go to Marlin right now.
Bubba Horowitz at BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. How you doing today there, Mr. Bubba?
Good morning, Marlin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us on the show here. A little bit of a bounce overnight. What do you attribute that to?
Well, yesterday I said it was just another buying opportunity. You know, we actually came down to some pretty good levels of support in corn and wheat for sure. And we're getting a little bit of a bounce. I think that soybeans are still a little bit suspect here. I think it's pretty important that they bounce here fairly quickly or there could be more trouble ahead. But corn and wheat look great. I mean, I think there's, you know, no question about it. They're definitely going higher, in my opinion.
What is with the soybean trade right now that it's making new contract lows, right? I mean, what is it, 14-month lows or so?
Yeah, I mean, there's been concerns, and there's been some huge calls of soybeans, from some of the big guys saying that, hey, they're going, you know, much, much lower. I thought that 940 was a really key level. And, of course, it failed on Friday and basically zipped through like it was nothing. I think that they're probably being just a little bit overdone here. And I would look for a bounce back. I think it'll be very important to see what it does when it gets back to 940, which I would expect to happen in the next, you know, week or so. But there's, you know, a lot of pressure. Maybe there's going to be, you know, more planting of beans. And, again, with some of the weather, they may be putting more in. So, again, that could create some issues. I do personally believe that it's very much overdone right here. And I think that you're going to see a fairly good bounce. But, again, 940 will be a key level on the way back up.
Well, the ratio between new crop corn and new crop soybeans is already only about 2.38 to 1.
Yeah, no, that's of course what's going on. But again, we'll see, you know, where it all ends up being. But at the end of the day, you're watching the money, and the money is dictating that they think that there's some selling there. Now, I know that the commercials from my understanding have started to buy some soybeans here, so. And hopefully there'll be enough to, you know, push back and build a good floor underneath these.
Looks like the western half of the Corn Belt has had decent planting progress, but the eastern half really lagging. I was talking a moment ago about how the Indiana and Ohio regions are behind on their corn planting by a few points. But on the soybean planting, Indiana is only 54% done. Their average is 71, and the same for Ohio. So they are lagging well behind when the western states are right on pace.
Yeah, it is interesting. And, of course, you know, as I mean, it's fairly common. You know, we go through different periods. And I think one of the things that you look at is that, you know, you hear – one report from, you know, one area and then another report. And then eventually the actual facts will come out. But I'm a big believer that the price action, you know, tells you what's really going on, whether or not the reports are accurate, but the money is almost always accurate. And I think that's what we need to watch is the flow here. And I think you saw it yesterday, you know, in corn, you know, in wheat, when they're both under pretty heavy pressure for those contracts, you know, down 8, 9, and 11 cents. And then all of a sudden we're able to actually hold, rally back a little bit to close, and now rallying overnight again. So I think that shows, you know, where the real strength is right now. And of course that can change at any moment, but for now, I think those are the two strongest.
Okay, we'll come back in a moment. We'll talk more about the markets. We're talking right now with Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Don't go anywhere. We'll have a whole bunch more coming up. In addition of Commodity Wrap, I'm Arlen Bowling with you, along with Zach Troutman, who's running the board. And on the phone, we have Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Wheat harvest moving right along, I understand, well up into Oklahoma at this point. Sounds like some areas of south central Kansas might be maybe a week away or so.
Yeah, you know, again, it's fairly typical, you know, type of action. But I think that, you know, again, this is, you know, kind of, you know, what we go through as farmers and producers. Those are part of the things that we have to deal with every day, which then affects the price.
Okay, on the close yesterday, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you saw happening. We had a sharply higher close on the cattle complex, but the lean hogs went the other way, and they closed lower, led by the nearby contract. How concerning is that to you after setting new contract highs several days in a row recently?
Well, I think that that hogs themselves are coming down. I've you know, been on that bandwagon. I thought that 78 or 79 would be the near-term top. Now, you know, further down the road, I look for higher prices, but I think we're coming back down to, you know, the low 70s before we see, you know, much more upside. I think that one of the things that we have to really look at is the volume has been horrendous, which is more like vacation type pricing action. And of course, in the cattle, you know, I think we're getting just a little bit of a dead cat bounce after breaking pretty hard. I mean, you know, the fat cattle was up at 135 almost, and I expect it to go down to about 115 before it's all said and done. You know, we're trading about 123 right now. So the action, you know, you look for these kind of occasional pops and bounces as we go forward. And of course, you know, feeders look like they're coming down as well. And I think, you know, you had some pretty big selling on Friday, and then you had a rally that did not get back to the highs of Friday in feeders. So I think they look like they're coming lower. Basically the whole meat complex, I think, is going to come down. But again, I think that it will be that those will be buying opportunities, and I think we look for much higher prices. The biggest concern is the backwardation in the fat cattle.
Okay, so on the lean hogs, you're looking for a potential sell-off for a bit, but do you think we have just seen the high of the year, or do you think it'll come back and retest it or take it out?
I think it'll probably take it out, I think, later on in the year, but I think for now, I think we've seen the high, and certainly, you know, as a speculator or a trader, there's no way I'm buying here. I'm actually selling here, looking to buy at lower prices and looking for them to come in. I think that you've seen a market that's been pretty much substantially overvalued now from a value proposition. And I think that with the prices that we're seeing at this particular time, based on the way that they got there, are going to be pretty hard and pretty challenging to hold up at these levels.
So back on the grain side here, if you're talking to producers right now, and maybe they have had to sell some cash grain here recently to, you know, maybe pay for their input costs for the planting season this year, do you think we're still at a point where it would be affordable to re-own some of that grain?
Absolutely. I think that corn for sure, you know, 365 again held as a real champion. And I think that 420 level on the wheat are great areas as solid support and look like they were just coming back and taking some profit. And I think that there's a difference between a sell-off and profit-taking. And I think wheat and corn were in profit-taking, and that's the concern in soybeans is that it looks like they're a sell-off right now. So that's the difference when I look at the market. And so I'm a buyer in both wheat and corn. In fact, I was trying to buy when I was on with you yesterday, and I think that, you know, again, we look for higher prices here, and I don't think there'll be any major disasters to the downside. In fact, again, I expect wheat over 5, and I expect December corn over 4. So I think that we're looking for good stuff.
And I know you're usually a big proponent of the use of options, but there's several ways you can approach that. And I'm sure you can talk with our listeners about maybe some strategies they can use to maybe re-own that.
Absolutely. There's ways to re-own it, and then there's also ways to protect it when you have it. And I think it's important right. That you always take care of that. That's kind of my philosophy is always be protected, and then you can hold on to those long. So when we do get a big market, which they never announce themselves, of course, unless maybe they send you a telegram. But me, they don't tell me, but at least we're ready to go when they come.
Well, and some producers think that, well, if they need to lock in their new crop price, they look at new crop options and they think, my goodness, that's expensive. But you can explain why that's the case, and you don't necessarily have to use those far out months, at least to hedge your upcoming crop.
That's correct. I like to use the nearbys because, again, they're going to move similarly, and the time value is less, and there's ways to create a synthetic model around your overall crops or meats and allowing you a much cheaper entry, but again, giving you the benefit of protection to the downside, but also giving you the benefit of playing in the big market if it should show up.
So how do our listeners contact you to talk about that?
BubbaTrading.com is, you go to my website, or you can email me direct at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com, or you can call me 847-914-0053. I will always take your call.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Todd. Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com. We'll have more Commodity Wrap.
And, of course, that'll do it for today. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horwitz. Everybody have a great day, June 1st. Hope you enjoy it. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Friday. And, of course, have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.